We'll get started this morning. Just want to say it's good to see everybody. I know most of you. There's a few of the new faces I'm meeting here and there. If you don't know me, my name is Jim Wolfram, and we're excited to be here. Me and my family, we're actually right before Brother Ben Moore took this church, we were here for about a year, 2011 to 2012, just trying to keep the light shining. Never felt led to take the church, and there's a reason why, because Brother Ben's here. And he's a blessing. Man, I love Brother Ben, his family. You could talk about a pastor that loves you. He loves you guys. And so he wanted me to tell you this morning. He texted me, said, make sure the church knows that I miss him. And I'm just refueling. He needed a little bit of a break. The guy goes nonstop. And I tell you, we all kind of need that from time to time. So be praying for your pastor. I know he's praying for you. And looking forward to the day. Unfortunately, I have two of my children are not here. We have one boy, six girls, for most of you know that, but our oldest is getting married in less than 3 weeks, and that's a change for us, praise the Lord. She'll be moving out to Beloit, Kansas, middle of nowhere. Everything in Kansas pretty much middle of nowhere, but she'll be moving out there, and her soon-to-be husband is going to be a preacher. He's studying to do that, so that's a blessing. Not that everybody has to do that, but it's a blessing. Our next to the oldest, she got sick this morning, and just some bugs going around. I'm starting to get into the fall and the bug season, so appreciate your prayers for her. My wife had to stay with her. She was really, really sick, so we're missing a couple this morning, but we're glad to be here. And if you would, just want to jump right into the lesson this morning. If you grab your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. The Gospel of John, chapter number 4. And as I was just seeking the Lord direction and what to teach for Sunday school, it's a little different lesson. The last few times I've been here, I tried to bring some kind of a worksheet, you know. It helps me be able to have something to kind of follow along, keep me from falling asleep, you know, and all of that. And hopefully I won't put you to sleep this morning, but this lesson's just a little bit different. It's really just more of a one thought, main thought at the very end, but we got to work through some of this to get there. So the Gospel of John, chapter number 4, and let's start reading. Let's see here. Let's start reading in verse number 26, John chapter 4, verse number 26. We'll read just a few verses to kind of set the stage. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, just for sake of time, we're going to kind of recap what is going on here. And in the first part of the chapter, John chapter 4, we most of you have heard this preached, probably know where I'm going with this, but we find the woman at the well, and the story of the woman at the well, and we know at the beginning of the chapter that Jesus is a personal God. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he sought me out, amen, and he sought you out personally. He knows all of our names. He knows everything about you. Every thought that you've ever has ever entered your mind, he knows. That's pretty scary. Everything about us, God knows. And so he's a personal God, and we see the personal part of him in the first part of the chapter. The reason why is because we find that Jesus goes out of his way to go into Samaria and to seek out this woman who's at the well. Now, it's the middle of the day. And she's out there at the middle of the day because nobody else liked her. She was of ill repute. She was a lady that had been with many men. The Bible records that had been with several. I mean, it talks like she had like four or five husbands, and now she's with another man. And there was just no doubt there was a lot of people that didn't care for her, and she pretty much sold herself. And so we find a picture of a person who's in a mess. But Jesus can fix messes, and I'm thankful for that. He fixed me and is still working on my life. And we find here that finally we get down to the end of where we just read, and she comes to this conclusion that he loves her and that he wants to help her. And that's really where we all have to be if we want to understand who Jesus really is and why he came for you and me, is we have to have the understanding that no matter where you're at in your life, he wants to come and help you. Amen? That's our God. And so we find here that this woman whose life is upside down, who's just a mess, she finally realizes that he's the Messiah. He's the one that was prophesied to come. And so now she's excited about it. The Bible says, records here, that there's no doubt that she repents of her sins just by the actions of the words that are in these verses. And she says, okay, this is the Christ. I'm going to give my life to you. And the Bible says she goes back into town and she starts telling everybody about Jesus Christ. And that's a good sign of someone who's not ashamed of the gospel, who's not ashamed of Christ. They're willing to go to their work. They're willing to go anywhere and tell people about Jesus. I'm not talking about going to your work and then all of a sudden one day you jump up on the table and on the break time and you start yelling and screaming. That's ridiculous. We're not talking about that. But she was excited about what God had done for her. She had to tell somebody. And I think we've all been there. There's been something in your life happen that you're so excited. My daughter obviously been engaged for a few months. And as soon as she got engaged, we just so happened to be there at the time it was going to happen. Got it on video, him proposing and all of this. It was kind of a neat thing. And of course, boom, you know how Facebook is and all of that. It was, everybody knows. She couldn't wait to put it on. She wanted everybody to know who this guy is. And so we've all been there. We've all had things happen in our life that are so exciting you just can't close your mouth. You have to say something to somebody. That's where this woman's at. Why? Because she knows that God knew where she was at and God still loved her enough to come and personally talk to her and say, I want to be that water that you're thirsting for. That empty void in your life that you're searching, you're trying to fill it with all these different things, money and time, and you know, you're trying to fill it with money and jobs and people and friends and partying and all of these things that she was involved in. Nothing would fill that void, and nothing ever will. There's a spot that is created in all of us that only can be filled by Jesus Christ. And so that's where she's at. And so now Jesus has filled that void. She has given her life to him. And so that's where we're at with the verses I just read. And she says in verse 29, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He's God himself. He told me everything. He just starts going through her life, and he's telling her, you've had this happen, and you've had this happen, and he confirms that he's God. So look at verse number 30. We'll kind of pick up here. It says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. This is an important verse to the text, what we're going to be talking about, because after she tells all of these men and all these people in the city, she's excited about it, they start to come out. Okay, you got to have the picture here. They're starting to walk down the main street, and they're starting to come out the gate where the wells at those times, many times the wells were outside the city walls, outside the city gates. And so they're starting to make their way out. Keep that in mind. Verse number 31, it says, okay, and it kind of switches now. Verse 31 says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So you say, what's going on here? So this is what's going on. What had happened was, as they came in at the first part of the chapter, they came into the city, Jesus says, he goes up to this lady, starts to talk to her. The disciples, no doubt, probably stubbed their nose and wondered, why in the world is he talking to her? We're going to go get food. So that's what happens at the first part of the chapter. They're in the city this whole time that he's talking to her outside. They come back out, and he's still talking to her. And they're almost confused. They're almost wondering, what in the world? Why is a man in public, a Jewish man, talking to a Samaritan, which at those times, Jews and Samaritans didn't want anything to do with each other. You say, what's wrong with the Samaritan? The Samaritan was a half-Jew and a half-Gentile. They were considered a dog. I'm I'm just telling you what they were considered as. They were like looked down on like a dog, like a nobody. That they were just like an animal to the Jews, many of the Jews. And it was a horrible thing to be looked at like that, a racist type of an environment. But even the disciples who had given their life to Christ had some growing to do in the Lord. And they come back out of the city, and they're still kind of wondering. They're walking around. They're wondering, why is he still talking to her? And then all of a sudden, she's excited. She takes off. She goes back in the city. She's telling everybody about what God's done for her. And they're starting to come out, and the disciples now have the food, and that's where we're at. They come up to Jesus, and this is what they say in verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 31 says, they prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So they bring out the food, and they set Jesus down, and they're trying to get him to relax and to eat some food. They're all hungry. They had been on a journey before to come up to Samaria, and so they're just tired and want to sit down. I just want to eat some food. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to eat. So they had gone in, and now they're out, and all of a sudden we see here that Jesus his reply is not what we normally think, and it surprised them in verse 32. He says unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And now they're wondering, well, who brought him food? Who brought Jesus food? I mean, what's going on here? This don't make sense. We just went in. He knew he was in town. He knew he was going to bring food out here. And now, and they're wondering in their minds, what are you talking about? And what Jesus is trying to get across to them is simply this, that the meat that Jesus is talking about is really the agenda of the Father. It's the mission of the Father, God the Father, to Jesus, wasn't to come to the earth just to focus on the physical food and the physical things in life, which many people looked at Jesus, and that's all they wanted out of him. And even today, that's still the same case. When I got a flat tire, God, I need you. And they want to pull him out like a spare tire. That's not our God. That ain't why he created us. So we see here that they're kind of baffled about it. They're trying to figure out what's going on here. And Jesus says, wait a minute, guys. I have meat that you know not of. I'm feeding on something that is not just, we're not talking about the physical. I want to get your eyes off of just the physical in this life. Let me get you to look at something that's a little bit different. And so he goes on to say, verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my mission, the purpose, the reason why I'm here is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So this is a lesson, and we find this all through the Gospels. We find times where the disciples are focused on an outside, a physical thing, and Jesus is trying to get them to say, okay, hold up, guys. Your whole life's not just about what you can see and touch and feel. There's a spiritual side to you that I have restored. I've saved your souls from hell, amen. But now I want to bring you to a place where you can grow spiritually, that you're not always just focused on the physical things in your life. There's some things that are even more important than just the daily, just the daily things that the routines we have to go through. There's a purpose that's even much more important, the reason why you're here right now. And can I say it? It's really that way for you and me. Jesus, when he saved our souls, if you're here today and you've given your life to Christ, it's a lot more than just about our jobs and what kind of a house we have and the vehicles we have. And all of those are important, and there's nothing wrong with them. Nothing at all. Except if they get in the way of what Jesus really has us still on this earth for. Because you know what? When Jesus saved you and me, he could have took us straight to heaven. But he didn't, because there's a reason and a purpose he still has us here on this earth. And that's to reach other people for him. That's really the only reason why you and me are still here. If you're here saved today and you say, yes, sir, I know, Brother Jim, I remember that day when I gave my life to Christ. I remember the load that he took off my shoulders. I remember getting up that day and And boy, just a feeling of freedom. And I can remember that day in May of 2000 when I was 20 years old and I gave my life to Christ completely. I said, God, you have it all. My life was upside down, didn't know what else to turn, didn't know what else to do. And I remember that load lifted off, but that was just the beginning. And if he didn't have anything else for me, he would have took me to heaven then, but he still has a plan. And so Jesus is trying to get the disciples to understand this. And this is what he says. He says in verse 34, my mission, even still on this earth, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he has to go on and explain a little bit. And verse 35 helps us understand this, what he's really saying in verse 34. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then harvest. And then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now this is almost, when I first read this, studied, it was almost comical a few years ago, looking at this. So you got to get the whole picture right now, and you have to understand what's going on. We know now that the woman has come and gone into the city. She's starting to come out with a bunch of people. They're excited to see Jesus. They heard that he's here. He's the Messiah. He's changed her life. He can change my life, and that's an awesome thing. So they're starting to work their way out of the city at this time. And all of this other is going on. Jesus and the disciples are sitting down. The disciples are trying to get him to eat physically. And they're trying to get him to, they're saying, man, who in the world fed you? You know, we went and got food. We've done all this work. We're trying to prepare it for you. And now you're saying you already have ate. You have meat. He says, wait a minute, guys. I'm not trying to get you to see just the physical. I want you to see there's a mission why I'm here. And there's a mission that I want you to get, that when I leave, you continue the same mission of the Father. That is to win souls. That is to reach people for me. And so then he says this. He says, say not. It says this, verse 34, it says, there are yet 4 months. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come with the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. And this is what I think happened probably. They're sitting there, and they're all sitting down like good Baptists do, and they're eating really good. Amen. That's nothing wrong with eating good. And so they're stuffing their faces, and they're saying, man, you ought to try some of this, Lord. You ought to try some of this, Jesus. And he's... This is what he says. He says, don't say that there's yet 4 months to harvest. You say, well, why is he saying that? Well, I believe at that time, probably late October into November, there's harvest. Their wheat or barley harvest at that time. They had not harvest, but they had planted the seed already, and it was just starting to come up. And over there, that's when they plant, is October, November. And then they reap in the spring. Early spring, and so he's saying this is that these little sprouts of green, almost looking like grass, are everywhere, and it's starting to come up. And Jesus says this, that don't look at this and say there's 4 months until harvest. Don't look at this and say he goes, lift up your eyes and look, because the harvest is already coming. He's saying, get your eyes off just the physical that you see around you. And I can only imagine when he first started saying it, they're looking around. What do you mean 4 months to harvest? I mean, this is just planted. This stuff ain't ready for harvest yet. But he says, lift up your eyes. Get your eyes off down here. Lift them up and look. There's people coming. There's a harvest that is coming to me even right now. and then he says this, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, I've helped my father-in-law plant beans and corn. I've helped him do that. We put some of our land in, a little bit of our land in that every year, and so I don't know a lot, but I know a little bit about planting and such things. I do know this, that where I'm at, there isn't much wheat or any of that, at least where we're at. There's just not. But when I've driven out here and I've seen certain fields, you know, and I don't really know. I don't really know if it's wheat. I think it's wheat. Some wheat fields that are close, and on a sunny day, when that wind's blowing, and you start seeing the waves in it, and that light hits it just right, so it's like golden, almost a white color. It just kind of almost reflects and almost looks like golden white. It's real bright. I really believe that's what he's saying here. That's when you know that it's time to reap the harvest. Say, what are you saying all of this, Brother Jim? This is really the message, or the nitty-gritty of the message is simply this morning. Where is our focus in this life? The disciples, their focus, and you study out the scriptures, was always, and it was a learning process for them. We have to understand that. You and me probably would have done the same thing. But it's a process of God teaching them, Jesus himself, through the scriptures. He teaches them over and over and over. They would get so focused on just the physical, on just the here and now, that they would lose sight of why Jesus really came. It wasn't to set up an earthly kingdom. Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. He didn't come up, and boy, would that would have been a kingdom. I mean, God himself ruling on the throne, there would be no power that could supersede that. I mean, it would have been amazing kind of a kingdom here on earth, but he didn't come for that. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. What was that? Was to come, live a sinless, perfect life, and then end up dying on a cross, be buried, rose from the dead 3 days later, to what? To conquer sin and death and hell for you and me. That's the whole purpose why he came on this earth. But in doing that, he also did something else, is that he started the first church, which I believe were the disciples. After he started that first church, the disciples were the first church. After he started that, he tried to ground them in the Word of God and what the mission of the Father, God the Father, really was that when I leave, this is what he told them, when I leave, I want to see this continue. And you know what? Some 2,000 years later, this is where we're at. We're assembled in this building, and you all are a church body, right? And you're here for really one purpose. And if you read the scripture, you're here for one purpose, even today, is to worship God. We're here for him. We're not here for anybody else. You're not here for me. I'm not here for you. We're all here for him. And that's really why the church is assembled together. And there's so much into that, but this is the message this morning is simply this, though. What is our focus on? We can get so tied up in things of this world that we lose the focus why we're really still here, why God gives us breath every day and strength to get up and go work. Yes, we have to have jobs. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm not saying everybody has to quit their job and go full-time. That's not what we're talking about. I am talking about this, though, that it's so easy, especially in America, to get so busy that we don't have time for God. We have no time for visitation for God. We have no time to read our Bibles. We have no time to spend time with God in prayer. We're just too busy. God, I'll get to you when I can get to you. But then when crisis comes, then we're all ears. I mean, everything shuts down. All of a sudden, everything's important when we need something. But what about him? What about the mission of the Father that still goes on today? The same meat that he is talking about is the same meat that you and me need to be living by. The Bible does say this, that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God and out of God's word. We're not only supposed to be, we're not only a physical beings, but we are also spiritual beings. And so the focus is of this church, and I know this to be true because I know Brother Ben, and I've talked with him many times, or Pastor Moore, I better probably should say it that way, Pastor Moore, meeting with him many different times and talking about the mission of this church, and his goal is what? To fulfill the will of the Father. If you know anything about Brother Moore and understanding his mission here, it's to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And the more we have unity like that, the more when you come to church, you're focused on God. And when you get a chance, you say, God, what can I do more for you? I want my focus to be on you. Maybe it could just be, I'm just teaching / preaching this morning. Maybe it could be that we're investing too much time in some things around on this earth. Nothing wrong with hunting. I love hunting. I go hunting with my kids. There's nothing wrong with guns. I love fast stuff. I love all those things. And I don't think there's any sin in that at all. I don't think there's nothing wrong with having nice vehicles, having a beautiful house, and all of those things. You can't find in the Bible that it's wrong to have them unless they have you. It's when they have us and they control us, and we got such huge amount of payments we have to work, so we can't, I mean, we can't even breathe. We don't have time to sleep. Our priorities are out of line. We have to remember this, that there's a mission. And that mission is not just for the whole body, and some of the body does all the work, and the other part of the body just shows up on Sunday. The mission is that the whole body works together, tightly fit together as one unit. That why? So we can reach souls for Jesus Christ. Because all this is going to burn up. Everything you're driving, everything you're living in, you slept in, your beds, your nice stuff, it's all going to burn up one day. When we die, we can't take it with us. So really, the only thing that lasts are souls. The only thing that really, really, truly is of the greatest value on this earth is you and me to God. It's nothing else. So the main thought of the mission is simply this morning, and I just got a couple things I want to say about it, but is really, where's our focus this morning? You say, well, what about the focus? What does that mean? Well, look at verse number 36. We're going to tie this up here. I've got a couple minutes left. Verse 36 says this, and he that and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And look at this, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So what's he talking about in verse number 36 and 7 there, and even in verse 38? Well, he says this, he that reapeth receiveth wages. And the gist of these verses right here is simply this, we all have a part in either planting, watering, and plowing, doing the cultivating the ground, so to speak. I'm talking about in a metaphor here of reaching people for Jesus Christ. But we all have a part. There's talents and things that you guys can do, certain of you, that the rest of us can't do. We can't do that. There's things that some of you can do that there's no way I'll ever be able to do those types of things. We can name a many, many different talents and maybe even special things that you're just good at. Maybe it's maintenance work. Maybe it is music. Maybe it is, and you can just name a whole list of things that God has designed you for a specific purpose that you're good at. So what we need to do is say this, Lord, today, this is what we ought to get to, is to say this, Lord, in what you've given me, what can I do to help this church body reach more souls for you? What can I do? I don't want my focus just to be on me all my life. I want to be used by you to reach someone whose life's upside down, they don't know where to turn, they don't know what to do. Would you help me reach somebody for you? And boy, I tell you, it's an awesome thing to be able to sit down with somebody and see them give their life to Christ. There is no greater joy that you'll ever receive than when that happens. If you've never done it, you ought to experience it once. Just witness. Just start witnessing people. Just start asking the question, hey, if you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven. That's not I don't think that personally that's an imposing question. I've heard people say, well, how could you dare ask somebody that? How could you dare not? Because one day they're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the white throne judgment, actually, and they're going to give it an account for everything they've ever done. And if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I only fear that I would be in the grandstands and they would see me and say, wait a minute, I know that guy. How come you never told me about Jesus? I worked with him for years. He never said nothing about God. How come he's up there and now I got to be thrown into hell? Because that is going to happen. That's not just a fictional thing. It's in the Scripture. That's going to happen one day. That if people don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to go to a place called hell. So what do we do with this? We understand here that Jesus has a has a reason for explaining this to the disciples this way. It was a learning process for them. But how about you and me? Where is our focus even today? You say, well, I just can't do things like other people. Well, this is all God wants, is that he says this, there's different jobs in the church. In verse 36 through 38, that's what he's talking about. There's different jobs, there's different people. Some sow, some water, some till the ground. But we all work together so that we might reach people for Jesus Christ. So the simple question this morning, is there anything that's stopping you from losing your focus on souls? I'm not telling you you got to stop everything you're doing. I'm just saying this, that it ought to be a part of our life daily. God, would you send someone my way that I could reach someone for you? I'm not talking about being a preacher to them. I'm just saying this, live a life in front of them. But not just live it, you have to say something. Help, give me boldness, Lord. Help me have my focus. Help me to get my eyes off the daily stuff and to realize there's people who are just suffering and dying and going to a place called hell, and I haven't done pretty much nothing about it. I'd like to change that. Today you can change it. That's the good thing about God. You can get a fresh start today. And there's, believe me, there's times in my life where I just get so focused, and I have to admit this. I'm going to be very transparent with you, okay? Sometimes my wife tells me I'm too transparent, but this is just me. I'm human. We travel and sing and do this now full time. It's a year yesterday I quit my job and went full time. And there are times, I have to say it, like I have to be honest with you, there are times we just go to the next meeting, and I'm so tired, I just want to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm ready to get home. We've been on the road for 6 weeks straight, you know, drive 150 hours at least in some of them trips, and I'm just so tired, I just want to do it, and I want to get home. And I'm wrong. I have to be honest with you. There's people in the pew. And there's people sitting in those churches where we go that they need to hear from God. And if I haven't done my part, shame on me. It's not just about the physical. I got to remember that. And I fight that as well. We're all in the same boat here. So this morning, I think we're getting done early. I don't know what time you normally get done. It's only 10 or 12 after. But this is what I want to say is this, man, where's our focus today? Let's not get so focused on just the daily routines that we lose focus of who God is and the reason why we're still here. It'll bring you more happiness and joy than you ever thought was possible if you'll just follow the scripture and say, God, how can you use me? How can I be someone who tills, sows, plants, whatever? Use me, Lord. And I'm just telling you now, you'll have more joy than you ever thought was possible. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Lord, I just thank you for each and every attentive ear, even this morning. Lord, I know this lesson was short, but Lord, it's very powerful. Lord, if we get our eyes off of you and we get us focused on the physical, Lord, we lose direction and we lose joy. Lord, there's no doubt there's no doubt that in this room there's some of us, and I say us as in me myself, if I'm not careful. Lord, we lose focus, and we get so tied up in our jobs, our accounts, our money, our investments, our vehicles, our families, that we forget that there's a mission, there's a purpose, there's an agenda by you, Father, that you have us here for a reason, to reach people for you. So, Lord, I pray we wouldn't lose that focus. I pray you'd help us to be faithful, be in your house, but, Lord, be faithful to Father, just to follow you in everything that you want us to do. We love you. We thank you for the morning. Help us, Lord, now to worship you and trust you. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.